Thank the Lord for the gift of music every Sunday, and today in particular, you know, that song that John sang was powerful enough to receive the Lord about that He would give His life for us, and we could surrender and say, Christ, come into my heart, and thank You, for Lord, for giving Your life for mine. So I give, you talk about how gracious the Lord is, how we give our life for Him, and we receive grace upon grace, and a wonderful salvation with Jesus. Just some of the words that I was jotting down. It's not good to write notes when John's pouring his heart out in song here. But what we were without Christ: burdened, sin, broken. And then He gives His life for us, and we become royalty, have joy untold, loved, accepted, and have a robe of righteousness. Boy, just who Jesus is, passing on His goodness to us. So thankful for such a great salvation. So pray to the Lord and enjoy His fellowship throughout this week. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. And He closes off the prayer, for Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Jesus taught that God's kingdom is something that you and I can be a part of. And if you want to think of God's kingdom in a way that you probably will hit your soul, it is a kingdom for the underdogs. Okay, if you've ever been an underdog. You know, if you look at Psalm 145 and just let the Bible tell you what God's kingdom is, you'll see that the kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. Every generation is ruled by the kingdom of God, according to Psalm 145. So there's a bright future for our young folks. God's kingdom is going to impact them. And God's kingdom is His ruling over creation and in the lives of people. So God's kingdom was there before He created the earth or the universe. He was in charge of everything. He didn't have to ask anybody's permission. May I be king of the universe over here? That was a fact. His kingdom ruled before He created Adam and Eve. His kingdom ruled before He kicked the devil out of heaven. That's why He kicked the devil out of heaven, as a matter of fact. And so, your life and my life, we can be a part of the kingdom of God as we bow our knee to Christ, our Savior, or we could be a part of the kingdom of self. And throughout the Bible, again, you see the kingdom of the underdog. When God picked Abraham, He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and your descendants. Abraham and Sarah said, you got to be kidding. Yeah, that won't happen. That can't happen unless you intervene, and God did it. When God picked Israel as a nation, He said, I didn't pick them because they were the toughest on the block or they were the biggest nation around. I picked them to show my goodness. So there's God's kingdom again for the underdogs. And, you know, there's people in your life, and maybe even yourself at times, when you say, I've received Christ. I'm a part of God's kingdom. And you might look in the mirror and say, nah. And the people around you might look at you and say, you've got to be kidding me. But God would step up and He would say, by my mercy, and by the shed blood of my Son, and by my reaching out to choose you, unlikely one, to be a part of my kingdom, you're invited to be in the rule of Christ in your own heart and throughout the universe. So it's a wonderful thing that you and I are a part of. It just represents Jesus as Lord. You know, don't be afraid of the phrase. The Gospels talk a lot about it. Paul talked a little bit about it, but Jesus said, pray about it. So we're going to be a part of that, that's for sure. Jesus said the kingdom of God, or His rule, it starts off small. It's like a mustard seed. It's like a pearl of great price. If you had something, you'd give everything to be a part of this. He said it's like a treasure hidden in the field, worth more than everything you have, is being a part of God ruling your life. Jesus also said this, that His kingdom was like a great banquet in the Gospel of Luke. And you could think of, you know, Memorial Day, you might have a meal or two in a special manner, a lot of people, a little bit of people. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like this big banquet somebody throws, and many are invited. Not enough say yes. And so God goes and he invites, in Jesus' words, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Sounds like unlikely people at your Memorial Day picnic, for sure. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. They are invited by the king because he said, my banquet has to be filled. And they're going to be filled by people of great need. And you and I are in the crowd, as you can guess that. I don't know if some have served in the military. Boy, we had about 14 people or so. All branches of the military have a phrase, never leave a fallen soldier behind. Okay, great phrase. Great value that's reflected also in the body of Christ or in the kingdom of God. So if you see somebody who goes down, you know, maybe crippled spiritually, poor spiritually, blind spiritually, hey, don't leave them behind. Go get them. That's your call as a believer, part of the way God's kingdom works. So it doesn't matter how messed up you are, or how messed up you think the other guy is, or how good you think you are, God wants you at his banquet, or God wants you at his kingdom. And thinking of my own life, the biggest, most joyful banquet I ever attended, no doubt, was our wedding reception that 25 years or so ago Regina and I had. I was assistant pastor at the time of a church, so we invited the whole church to be in the worship time and to be in the reception. And we invited every possible relative and their dogs and cats and whoever we can get there, we wanted to get there. My strategy was not, you know, Regina's paying for it, so let's go for it. But we had a great time. And we invited one fella who we thought probably wouldn't come, but we have to invite him. He was in our Bible study, shorten his name, Bob Mack. Bob Mack was in our Bible study. Had a lot of troubles in his life. He was an alcoholic, so he was on and off in terms of his ability to be sober. But he loved the Lord, so he was struggling through that. So he would do the fellowship thing. Had no job, had no family. They were all broken up because of Bob's behavior. No car. So a person of very little means. So we thought, got to get Bob to the wedding, tried to arrange some rides, didn't take them. So wedding day comes, so blessed, having a great time. And who shows up at the wedding? Unlikely. Bob Mack shows up at the wedding. He had taken a Port Authority bus from where he lived to Pittsburgh, took another bus from Pittsburgh to Whitehall Township where we were married, and he came to the wedding. And you might say he came the farthest, but he was the most thankful person there, besides Regina and I. And Jesus would say something like this: what, you know, an unlikely person received into a great celebration is like the kingdom of God. That's like what God does for your soul and my soul when he says, this is for you. And we, by his grace, somehow are there. And Christ invites you to be a part of his ruling the universe like that. Abraham Kuyper, when you think of God's kingdom, he had a great quote. He was a Dutch Reformed guy. He said that there's not one inch in the universe about which Jesus does not say, this belongs to me. That's his desire. Certainly for people's souls, but also for the whole universe that he made. So we say, Lord, your kingdom come. May it show itself up. And Father, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I want to go over some things that Jesus taught about God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and just make some points that so we could celebrate his encouraging us to be a part of that kingdom or inviting us. I don't know if anybody is in here who had to take the path of citizenship to the United States In other words, you might have been born in another country, but you became a citizen through going through certain steps. Anybody in that boat? I was thinking maybe somebody from New Zealand or something out there. No. Okay. But when people do that, I've known people who have done that. And it is a very dramatic and emotional change for them. They're the citizen of a certain country, and they go and they say, I would like to be a citizen of the United States. And the United States invites them, you know, to do that. And they take these classes, and they spend time together, and then the big day comes, you know, where they pledge their allegiance to this new nation they're a part of. And what a privilege it is, and everybody celebrates and rejoices. And from that time on, man, you know, their loyalties are different. Their allegiances are strong to their fellow citizens. And that's what happens when you and I receive Christ. The Bible says we go from the kingdom of darkness, where there's no hope, we're headed for hell, to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And we have blessing and privilege and fellowship. And at the end of the road, heaven for us. So just to think of the kingdom in that way. And here's some of the things Jesus said about it. Well, who's a part of God's kingdom? What in the world did he say? The poor in spirit are there. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you say, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit means that before God, you and I are broke spiritually. We have nothing to offer him but a Savior who would come and die for our sins. Back in the late 50s, early 60s, there was a song out, some of you would remember it, called I'm Busted. Anybody remember that song? The kids don't have this and that and the other, and I'm busted. No bread. Okay, I'm broke. That was the song. Kind of a sad song with a peppy tune. But with this here, we come to God and we say, Lord, I recognize that before you, I have nothing to offer. And Christ has to be my wealth, or I have no right to be a part of your kingdom. Jesus said, if you're there, then you understand how to be a part of God's kingdom. He'll rescue you from your sin and yourself that is so prevalent in your life. Who else is in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, one of the blessings of living in our country is this is going to be kept to a relative minimum. In your life, I can't speak for you all, but in my life, the number of times I've been persecuted has been rather mild. Laughed at, yes. Pushed out of certain parts of the family, yes. I've not been persecuted to the point of even getting a bloody nose, okay, over following Jesus. Sometimes the persecution in the kingdom of God comes from other believers, you know, taking a poke at you. Because there's wheat and weeds in the kingdom of God, Jesus said. But if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, especially if that comes later on in history for us, we should remember that persecution is occurring not because people dislike you. It's because people have a rejection of the King of Kings, who is Jesus. And then they just, you know, the heart of mankind doesn't want to think, God has to send his Son and give his life so that I might have life eternal. There's no other way to heaven, but Jesus would do that. And so to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, we should know that that's really an attack on God. It's not an attack on you and I if it would occur. And so we take it as a good Christian soldier. And we thank God for, we feel blessed if we come up against it sometimes. Jesus said, what else about the kingdom of God? To seek first his kingdom is our call in life. C.S. Lewis said, you can't participate in first things while you're seeking second things. Okay, so if one of my first things, for example, is being a better dad, being a Christian dad and father, I'm not going to accomplish that by working more hours on my job. Okay? Or running around time and not being at home, being absent. And I'm not going to gain first things by going after second things. Jesus said, go toward what is first, God's kingdom. And all those things, other things, will fall in place. But what a great calling in our life that at any one given time, you and I can readjust the direction of our soul by saying, I put Christ and His rule in my life first. And then let the other things fall into line under Him. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and God will take care of the rest. Kingdom of God is within you because God's rule in your life has to do with your thoughts, your will, and those things. It's an inside job that shows itself in your outward actions. And I like this one also. Kingdom of God is entered when you become like children. What's the qualities of a child that God would call forth in us? Hey, I want to believe, Lord, what You have to say. I trust You. You're bigger than me. Jesus, I trust that You would give... I'm counting on You giving Your life for me at the cross that You did. To have a childlike faith in Christ. What God says in His Word, I believe. Someone said, whatever... One of the testimonies says, whatever the Bible believes, I believe. It's a childlike faith in the Lord. Become like a child. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Another great one here. Those who enter the kingdom of God must be born again. That means you've got to come to the point in your life where you say, hey, I'm a sinner. Jesus, would You come into my life and save me? Save my soul. Because I'm going to perish without You. And that's a must. Jesus said, you must do that. There's no negotiating. Well, maybe I'll go to heaven because I was sincere or good. That doesn't get you to the kingdom of heaven, sincerity. It's Christ. So just like that person who went from, I was a citizen of New Zealand, now I'm a citizen of the United States. My loyalty primarily was to myself, but now it is to the Lord. And He did that by giving me His Holy Spirit in me, born from above. And this one snuck in there, which I think is important for us. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like crooks and prostitutes entering God's kingdom before religious folks. Okay. Now, we could look at that and say, what in the world was that? Why is that up there? But if you know the Lord, you are very, very happy about that. You are very, very happy. I don't know if you would hold off, for example, if we had some big celebration testimony time and, you know, you and I have been walking with the Lord for a while and we're right in the scrum of, you know, church life. And we say, hold on, sit down, Bob. We have a gal up here who wants to tell what Jesus means to her. You know, and she used to be just out there into out of bounds territory. But she knew her need. And so her and this other bank robber guy, they're gonna praise the Lord today. Are you up for that? Well, I don't know. Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. Kind of turns our religious expectations on their head. And one of the things it does, it honors Christ very, very much. Tony Campolo tells a story, which I mentioned a number of years ago, where he was in a strange city speaking. It was happened to be in Hawaii, the island of Hawaii. And he couldn't sleep, time changed and everything. So he went into a restaurant, and there were, he's just eating, hardly anybody there. And he said a bunch of gals came into the restaurant, and they were all done with their work. They were prostitutes. Their day was ending in the evening there. And so he's just listening to their conversation, you know, trying to mind his own business. And one of them says, tomorrow it's my birthday. I'm 39 years old. And another gal said, big deal, Agnes. You know, what do you want? You want a birthday cake or what? And Agnes said, yeah, I'd like a birthday cake. In fact, I can't even remember ever getting a birthday cake in my whole life. And so Tanner Campbell is listening to all this, and he asked the owner, he says, you know, do these folks come in often? Yeah, pretty much every night. How about if we decorate the place tomorrow and I get a birthday cake with a happy birthday, Agnes, and we give it to this gal tomorrow. Okay, so the next night, everybody comes back. The birthday cake is presented. Agnes, somebody has their eye on you. No, really, it was the Lord. Okay. Agnes, somebody loves you. The Lord. Agnes, you're important to somebody. Okay, the King of Kings. And you could be a part of the kingdom of heaven, Agnes. And Agnes is like, she is dumbfounded by the whole experience. In fact, she's so excited, she said, can I take the cake and show it to my mom who lives a couple doors away? I'll wake her up and say, look, Mom, it's a happy birthday. And she brings the cake back. And there's prayer, you know, that God would intervene in the lives of these people. And you might say, well, did they receive the Lord yet? I don't know. But I think they're closer to getting into the kingdom of heaven than maybe a lot of religious folks who would say, you know, what does that have to do with Jesus? Jesus said he sees lost people. He came to seek and to save them. And again, it's the kingdom for the underdogs and the unlikely. And as you stand before a holy God, are you still an underdog? I know you're a saint. I know you're forgiven. I know you're a son or daughter of God, very precious to Him. But do you see the need that's there? And how His kingdom is still winning battles in your life by dealing with the spiritual brokenness that only He can heal. He can do it for us. Here's some other great things about God's kingdom, rolling through them here. It's preached to the whole world before Jesus returns. For the first time in history, there's a Christian in every nation. So God has the momentum. And we all know, just honestly, we know because God's pushing His people to spread the word. It's not like you and I are sitting around every day praying, you know, on our prayer list. And I pray for China, Lord, and I pray for Zimbabwe, and I pray for Malaysia. You know, I mean, we're just not there. But God's there. God's moving people in that direction. He invites us to join Him. And so that's what's going to happen in His kingdom. He brings you into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Can't get a better leader than Jesus. Present Him and His kingdom shines. Present Him and His kingdom shines. Is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? Paul mentioned that because people were wondering, you know, is the kingdom of God about what we eat? How about, you know, what we drink? How about that? Is that important? Paul said, wait a minute. How about this right here? And the kingdom of God is about serving others to the measure that it reflects Christ as our Lord. Fellas up there. I wanted to contrast in closing the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of self, which is really the only two kingdoms we have a chance to be a part of. And so if you take these two heart, your heart and my heart, and two additional points. Charles Stanley said this. He said, anything connected to Christ is growing and bearing fruit. That is, the kingdom of God is growing. And anything not connected to Christ is passing away. So that's true in our souls. And we want the things not of God to pass away. We want them to be replaced by the kingdom of God's way. Shelley Prindle, too, by the way, she wrote in her first book, she said, that which is connected to the will of God cannot be stopped. But that is that which is not in His will not, what not go anywhere in one of her prayers. And she did finish the second book, Living in Awe Before the Lord. But here's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of self in closing. And we get our hearts aligned to Christ as Lord. The kingdom of God, serving others. That's really where it's at in life. The kingdom of self. Self-serving. Okay, you've got to get your head out of yourself, as my mother often said. Serving others or serving self. Kingdom of God, righteousness and peace. And there's battles. Kingdom of self, sin and unresolved alienation. A lot of darkness. Kingdom of God, joy and the Holy Spirit. Kingdom of self, being a crabapple. There it is. Kingdom of God, friendship and heaven. Kingdom of self, loneliness and hell. Kingdom of God, grace and truth. Kingdom of self, rejection and falsehood. Kingdom of God, mercy and humility. Kingdom of heaven, revenge and kingdom of self, revenge and arrogance. Kingdom of God, Jesus is Lord. Kingdom of self, evil is your fake Lord. And would you, as a child of God, maybe wandering around saying, well, whose kingdom am I building? Am I building God's kingdom or my own? So I want to get in on Christ and His ways. I want to pray that way with my whole soul. And God, redirect the areas of my life that need redirected. Or if you're saying, I'm definitely kingdom of self. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I'm all for me. Christ would come and say, hey, you know what? You're an underdog. I want you in my kingdom. Would you be transferred to the kingdom of God's beloved Son? He'll do it for you as you yield to Him. Let's pray together before we sing.